Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, this is Josh and the Homebrew Hombres, Liam Malone, Max Wessel, and Doug Banks.
Hey!
We make RPG from Scratch. It's a podcast about making and playing your own tabletop role-playing games. So come listen to us work on the Scratch Dice system, an alternative to D&D and Pathfinder, and listen to our first campaign,
Echoes of the Star Crypt,
at nerdyshow.com and on your favorite podcast app.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBerry here with another installment of Drag is the New Spandex.
Yeah. I love the new theme song.
Right?
Oh, no. What happened to Jess Ketting? Oh, wait. She already did her thing.
Yeah.
What happened to Jess Ketting? Aw.
She's been flying the world. Well, not as much anymore.
No, definitely not as much anymore. We are here to discuss RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 5, Episodes 2 and 3. I'm joined by the voices you have been hearing, Eric and Brian.
Howdy.
Hello.
I'm joined here in Chicago by my cocktail as I sip on the tea and get ready to serve it, mama.
Slay the house down boots.
Did anyone else get annoyed by Miss Nicole Byers' frequent use of yes every time something happened?
But if you listen to anything Nicole Byer does,
she always does that
all the time.
I'm just saying. It was a little grating, and I'm like, cultural appropriate? No, it's not true.
You can't appropriate your own culture.
Oh, fine. I guess not.
I've also worked at a gay bar, so quite honestly, if everything is not followed by yas, then
they're not.
It's not good enough. So we did 2 weeks ago. We dished about the premiere episode and chatted about the All Stars and the Work the World talent show. Sadly,
Were you sad?
I was not sad. With an impressive high energy dance routine, Ms. India Farah became the first queen to place as the top all-star of the week. We had our first lip sync assassin in, at the time, the current reigning drag race champion. But then I'm sure lots of post-editing afterwards when this came out after season 12 aired. But Evie Oddly was the first secret lip-sync assassin. I'm pretty sure that this is where they lifted RuPaul saying secret for Secret Celebrity Drag Race. Because if I was watching, I rewatched one of the episodes today, and it was recapping episode one, and the way she says secret is exactly how it is in the commercials for it. So I wonder if there was like a whole thing, because I'm sure that all of this got like crammed together to air, because they only, from what I've heard through other podcasts and through other sources, is that they only had like a month to put that entire mini season together. So it I'm not surprised that they would Franken edit some of these clips to make it fit everything better.
So did that like get surprised on them? Like, oh, you're going to do this little mini series. Like,
I don't think it was surprised. I think it was pitched. I think it was something that got greenlit. I kind of feel like with everything with Sherry, that maybe they wanted something kind of wholesome to bookend everything.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah. But at the same time, honestly, I can't even say that. That might be why it got rushed to be put on air. But I mean, it was filmed at the same time, because the queer leading tryout banner that was used on Celebrity Drag Race is in the Untucked lounge or in the Untucked area for season 12, the entire season. So It was filmed around, like, it had to have been filmed after All Stars was filmed, but before season 12 was filmed. So I don't know, like, maybe they were planning on doing it later and we're going to film it further down the line, but then they were like, okay, no, we want it filmed now to be able to release whenever, you know how studios can be. They'll be like, all right, we need this done right now. So they got, you know, they came up with the best celebrities that they could. Some of them higher up on that chain of celebrity than others. But I will be damned. Nobody better talk no shit about Miss Vanessa Williams. Miss Vanessa L. Williams. She looked phenomenal. That is not what we are here to talk about. Let's continue with the lead up to this second episode. The lip sync assassin, Miss Evie Oddly, took the win. So the Roomocracy spoke and sent Miss Derek Barry to the house. And we move on. Cash tip rolled on over, making it $20,000 for the first all-star to beat the lip sync assassin. And that brings us to episode numero dos, called I'm in Love, featuring guest judges Tessa Thompson and Madison Beer. And there was no mini challenge. Rue came strutting on in after a little tense moment in the workroom, which got everybody all up in arms, saying that Cracker was getting the villain edit for All Stars, which I don't 100% agree with.
She seems to be making her own villain edit a little bit. I mean, I don't even know how the producers could have prompted her to go off this crazily. Like, this seems like so out of left field. I love how our hands disappear into the confessional.
Uh-huh. Your green screen is not as good as the one on Drag Race. Sorry.
I think they absolutely are manipulating this. And I'm not saying that she's not also completely dysfunctionally anxious or suffers from extreme like anxiety and neuroticism, but like the fingerprints of the producers are all over this season so far. Not always just manipulating the actual people, but also the edits. But I mean, that's like, you know, nothing new.
I think she ultimately wanted to goad Angina into being more self-confident and doing better.
I think that's true.
But what she said and how she went about it was cuckoo bananas.
I think one of the biggest issues with that is, and I don't, again, we don't see everything. They take hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of footage and boil it down to, so it's an hour and a half show, which means we're getting 20, 40, 60-ish minutes of actual showtime, not the premium channel, the actual, you know, time of the show. And
they moved it again.
Right. Now it's back on Showtime. Gotta go. See you later.
God damn it.
but on Wild Presents Plus the next day, it's fine. I think the thing that's kind of thrown me off this season is, especially between Cracker and Blair, this whole an all-star shouldn't doubt herself. An all-star, like, I don't understand. You were doubting yourself so much in an all-star show. When did that become such a thing? We're on the fifth season of All Stars. Like, they've all been through this whole thing before. They especially should know that there are times when you're going to doubt yourself. There are times when you're going to do all this. Like, you should come in more confident. I agree. But you also look at Angina, who she was on season one. Season one of Drag Race is nothing like what season 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Even four were, you know, maybe two and three were still probably close to the same kind of feel and format. Although with having discovered Pluto TV and their Drag Race channel, I ended up popping it on and was watching season three. And you could tell how much they were really just trying to break them girls down with having them make costumes, multiple costumes for their challenges multiple times in a row. To the point where both Yara and Alexis basically just broke down and almost quit the competition in the same episode. And then Yara basically just quit during the lip sync. So for them to harp on this as much, and Cracker does go back and kind of say that, like what you were saying, Eric, where you were pointing out that she wanted to encourage her, but I think at the same time the producers were like, you should talk about this and talk about how an all-star shouldn't doubt themselves. So it's a mixture of both. You have to know how to word things. And at the same time, the producers are definitely pushing some of those things.
I've gotten a little bit more at peace very recently, and it's taken me how long, to understand that the edits aren't always to manufacture things that didn't happen, though that does happen. But it's also to really, really beat home the storyline they're trying to tell. And I think you're right. I think the producers sort of see it unfolding and they take the material that they're given, like Angina, not just the, you know, the seed of doubt in her head, but clearly if you go back and watch those episodes, the first two with her, you see the seeds of her own destruction throughout. And the storyline then becomes, how do we set this better up to explain why? And that's where the prompts come from. So they weren't trying to destroy her as much as seeing that she was sort of imploding and then not hastening along, but really making sure it was documented and presented that way.
Well, yeah,
to shape the story.
And they use footage that drives that story. You know, there's probably plenty of footage where Cracker and Angina were joking around and buddy-buddy that they're not going to use,
right?
Because that doesn't fit the purpose. That doesn't serve the narrative to say, oh, well, she was trying to get into Angina's head and, you know, have all of this stuff happen. And there will be a point where I said it once and I will mention it again. Frank and Edit. And when we get to them doing their choreography portion, the rehearsal, we'll get back to what I mean by that, and if we'll talk more about the Franken edit there. So Angina gets into a little bit of it with Cracker over Cracker saying that she should have brought some whiteout in and voted for Angina instead of Derek or Mayhem. And then we get our message and Rue comes in and we go right into a maxi challenge, which will be them recording in teams versus to the new All-Stars hit song, I'm in Love,
now available on iTunes.
Ding. Oh damn it, I didn't set up a soundboard for it. I had my little ding ready for that too, but
tell me it's not. Please tell me they didn't release that.
Oh, I'm sure it is. They put all of these things up there.
Can we talk about this song a little bit?
We will in just a second.
All right.
So Rue gives India, being the top all-star from the week before, the ability to tell her who she thinks her two biggest competitors are. And from there, she picks Shay and Blair St. Clair, to which Mariah, in a confessional, is not as happy. She's like, I can understand that. But Blair, really? And those are the teams. And those are turned into the team captains. Not the team.
The other six are just sent to the house.
It was the quickest all-stars. The quickest all-star season ever. So they go one by one and pick teams. The team shake down to Team India being India, Jujubee, and Alexis Mateo. Team Blair being Blair, Mayhem, and Ms. Cracker. And Team Shay being Shay, Mariah, and Angina. Kind of a little rhyming for us there. So I think that sets up the entire thing. Let's talk about the song, because now they have to do their writing. They have to go record the song. And before we get into it, so before we discuss the song itself, the premise is that it is about a crush, a celebrity crush per se. And the girls pick theirs. Who would you, gents, pick as your man crush in the celebrity realm?
I should know this. I feel like I have someone.
I think Blair's group had the best strategy for this, in that they all picked kind of off-the-wall people.
So would you pick an off-the-wall person as your celebrity crush?
For the purposes of the song, probably.
But if you were actually, if you could pick a celebrity crush to sing about in RuPaul fashion, who would you pick?
Yeah, now that you say that, I was going to go somewhere like Ben Browder from Farscape, like somewhere really down and specific into this thing. But you know, it's relevant sort of because curling is taking on a little bit more of a public whatever. I could pick Eric, don't shut me down like that.
Were you going to say John Schuster?
Okay, yes, sure. Let's throw Schuster out there. Fine. I was going to go Johnny Moe from Canada, but you're right. All right, we're American. Let's do John Schuster is my celebrity crush.
Oh, no. I'm like, if you were going to go American, at least go, Tyler?
Well, okay. So, yes, actually, right now, if you look at the two of them, Tyler gets the win for sure. But now? I like Johnny. I like John Schuster's sort of swagger. Tyler needs more of that. If he had that and the beard, win.
Wait, which one was shirtless with Schuster in that photo?
That was Tyler.
It was Tyler? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She can get it.
Yeah. So I'll go with that. Sorry, Eric, if I stole yours.
No, that's fine. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Who's yours, Pat?
I have so many, but I think at this point, and it's kind of spurned from a post by one of our mutual friends, Anthony Exum, on Facebook. But I would probably go with either like somebody from the food world and do either like a Robert Irvine or a Tyler Florence, maybe a little Tom Colicchio, although that would be very tough to rhyme.
Paul Hollywood.
Oh, Paul Hollywood, yes.
Come on.
Hollywood's fantastic.
Oh, so pretty.
He can get my bottom soggy.
You let him pee on you? Oh, that's weird.
No. I didn't know you were flagging that. All right.
I don't have no yellow hanky. No yellow mask.
So, all right. So, we'll run down the list of the celebrity crushes that the queens use, and then we'll talk about the actual song. We'll get into the nitty gritty here. Alexis Mateo picks Daddy Janky. I love when she says Janky. Except for there's one point during everything where she actually says Daddy Yankee, and I'm like, where'd your accent go, Alexis?
That's what I heard too, and I saw that I don't know Daddy Janky either, so I didn't know who this person was, but I'm like, well,
it is Yankee. It's just okay, when
I looked it up, and so I had not. I think I have heard his stuff, but I did not know. I mean, from Orlando, we've heard reggaeton, and evidently I just didn't know he's a father of reggaeton. So I was like, oh cool, okay, I had no idea.
I mean, I've seen where you hang out in Orlando, and most of the time reggaeton is not the predominant music.
Okay, so Eric will appreciate this more because he lived with me in a part of Orlando and had, like, in the background on the street we lived, a 94.9 van, like that, like somebody lived there and would play. They had, like, parties and stuff. So anyway, yes, that part of my life was fairly. Anyway.
Yes, but it made me giggle when her accent went away and she actually said a Y. Jujubee picks John Stamos, which is right in my wheelhouse lately because I finally finished up watching Fuller House. Season 5 just came out not too long ago. India Farah, after originally saying she wanted to sing about her fiance, RJ, she is guided properly into the realm of, bitch, that's you in real life. And India Farah is a character and pick somebody for real. And she picks Justin Timberlake. Ms. Cracker does Sylvester Stallone. Mayhem does Mr. Rogers. Blair picks Hannibal Lecter. Angina, and this is where the team that goes into our like normal wheelhouse. Angina does Henry Cavill. Mariah does Jason Momoa. And Shea Coulee picks Chadwick Boseman.
And I like the superhero theme across it. It's a good through line.
I appreciated that for sure. And I definitely agree with Henry Cavill and Momoa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, both.
Especially Harry Chest Henry Cavill.
I don't know what it is about Boseman. I like him in the costume, but like he takes the mask off and I'm like, no, not a fan of the face. I don't know what it is.
He's got a very serious face.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I need my superhero men to be both serious and stoic, but also like have a little glimpse of like humor and or fun. So,
I mean, it's T'Challa. Sadly, T'Challa doesn't get a lot of time to be giddy and happy.
Very, very true.
So what did y'all think about the song? I've been talking a lot and setting all this up. So
I feel garbage.
Like, I was like, I feel like y'all have some some feelings about it.
So
it is the most genera track ever. Okay, just come up with a little piano ditty that everyone can sing a verse over. 9 verses in a song.
So many. Leland is an actually interesting like producer in his own right. And I guess he did Kitty Girls and Kardashian the musical. And I don't know that at all.
He's done a couple of things because I think they have only in the past mentioned Leland, and Freddie is his partner in writing and composing. And this time around, at least, they didn't just say, okay, well, you're going to go work with Leland. But when it got to that point, it was like, hi, I'm Leland, and this is Freddie. So, like, it was – but, yeah, like, I knew that he had done stuff with them before.
He's the new – I won't say Lucian in the bad way, but he is the sort of new – one of the new, like, stable of composers that they're bringing in. I think they're rotating through. But, anyway, he did Kitty Girls, which is a great song. I love that. That's one of my favorites.
Hey, Kitty Girl.
He's done work outside of RuPaul, of course. He's done like stuff for Troy Sivan.
Troye Sivan.
Oh, sure. That's how you say it. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. If I heard him on the radio, I assume it's a him, I would have no idea that I'm hearing him. I have no idea.
You know, you obviously don't know who he is when you connect him to a Geeky World. He was in Wolverine Origins. He was Wolverine. He was Logan.
Wolverine Origins?
Yeah. The really bad Wolverine movie where they sewed Ryan Reynolds' mouth shut?
I thought, what's his name was in that as Wolverine?
He was Little Wolverine when him and Victor were young and they show them back in like the family house and all that. That's Troye. I believe he's Australian. He's a queer artist. Has some pretty good stuff. He did, most recently, he had a song with
Bloom about bottoming.
Oh, whoa, wait, yeah. What?
Yeah, that was his big hit off his last album.
All right, I will go take this for homework. I will find out about this more. I did not know. And this is just me being an old man, not this person's horrible. I have no opinion, like I said. But anyway, so he's back to Leland. Leland has done some good stuff and has evidently written a lot of good stuff. But this is garbage. Like, it's the most basic it's an earworm, so I guess in some ways he's got the ability to ride a hook, but like it's so bad. And just it like, you know, Pat, you were singing it, now it's in my head, and I'm sure Eric won't admit to it, but it's in his head. Like it's horrible and infectious and horrible. Like Kitty Girl's infectious and fun. I get that stuck and I'm like, all right, cool, I like that song. But this song
is a lot shorter.
Yeah, well, right, and that doesn't help either, but that's a limitation of the assignment or of the piece, right? I don't know. This thing is
I don't know.
Usually when they do musicals and there's still a lot of girls left, there's musical changes throughout. Like it changes styles or whatever. But this was just the same thing over and over, the same eight counts again and again and again and again and again.
There is also not usually a large segue piece, because when you do a rusical or when you do something like Kitty Girl, you just have the chorus. Mm-hmm. Or in the rusical, it just kind of, it flows from person to person to person to person. Here it was like this pre first verse, and then you had the three girls do their part, and then there was like another four or five lines, and then the next girls did theirs, and then there, and I mean it all if you took out all the girls' portions, all nine of their parts, there was a storyline through it all. Because honestly, the funniest part really is the end, where it's like, I didn't even know he knew I existed until the courts told me to stay 30 feet away. But what they don't realize is that they forgot to blur his home address on the page. Like, it's actually kind of funny and clever. And still silly and stupid. I'm not saying it's going to win, like, you know, a Grammy for best song, but there's so much extra with it. And then you add in nine verses by the girls, which then makes it feel like you are listening to this song forever. And it was one of the first times I think I've ever seen that the judges panel didn't like unanimously go crazy at the end. Like Rue was like, yes, this is my stuff. And then like,
it's well, making jealous. Money. Oh.
And we'll make the girls money. So I will say this. If you like the girls that were part of it, stream the song, help them get some royalties from it, because they all, and Alaska attested to this on Race Chaser, they get royalties because they write their verses. So they are all credited songwriters on these songs. So anytime it's purchased on iTunes or it streams or whatever the royalty rights are, they do get that money from the streams and the purchases of these songs.
I mean, good for them. I appreciate that. I'm not going to download it. I'm not giving any ounce of my whatever to that. Natural selection and all, but, you know, come on.
I mean, you know, listen, there are still times where, as much as I shit on American, the season 10 version, I still find myself singing along to certain parts of it.
That one's okay. No.
I get to Eureka's part and I want to fast forward.
Oh, leave Eureka alone. I love her.
Why is she trying to take Darian Lake's Elephant Queen thing? And then you got these fucking young kids who never saw season 6 that are like, they see Darian Lake on virtual DragCon and, you know, still having her Elephant Queen merchandise, and they're like, why is she's not the Elephant Queen, Eureka is. And it's like, bitch, know your history.
Yeah. They all steal from each other, though. You go back far enough and it's like, oh, you didn't come up with hi and all this other stuff. But
I know, Angina did.
Yeah, I know.
No, and they talked about that. It's funny because we did the whole episode one recap, and I had not caught up on Race Chaser at all. And it wasn't until I think this past week that I had gotten caught up. And listening to Willem and Alaska talk about it, there were so many of the same things that we echoed between the two shows that I was like, oh, shit. If people listen to both of these, they're really going to think that we listened to this and then released
it. Which, by the way, has happened. I mean, that has happened. We've listened to Race Chaser first. But I listened to it this week, too, and I said the same thing. I'm like, oh, my God. That's
and they were
hilarious.
Talking about Derek Barry's wig and how long it took her. I was like, oh, my God, we said the same thing. One could only think that maybe they listened to our episode and then...
Clearly.
That's what happened.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, we did live stream that one. And they record on Mondays. So maybe somehow.
Very possible. Anus things are possible.
Anus thing is possible. So any other thoughts on I'm in love? Were there any verses that or lines that stuck out as positive to you?
Hannibal Lecter. I will give Blair all the credit for keeping it, we're making it weird. I don't know about keeping it weird, though. She definitely keeps dipping into the weird toe. Like every so often she says something, I'm like, oh, because, you know, the rest of the queens this season are pretty safe and no one's too weird, you know, really.
I mean, everything Shea Coulee did this episode was perfect. I mean,
a goddess among women. Yes.
I mean, granted, they showed us of everybody recording, but she just went in and spit her verse out. Who knows? It probably took her 20 takes. It probably took 20 takes on everybody. But
in my mind, literally, Shea walked up, had her lyrics, did it once, and then dropped her lyrics and walked away.
One take.
And she was like, done. That's it.
They made it seem like her group already had practiced all their choreography before they got on the stage and had it all down for practice. And I don't know. And this is even before the runway.
Right?
Even her look for the performance was cute enough to be a runway look, I think.
Oh, with the little Afro puffs and the little like palms on top of that. And just, oh, yeah. Yeah, she was on absolute fire for this episode. I'm dreaming about what kind of life we will lead. Mm-hmm. Floored me. I was done. Jujubee with he can take off my blouse. Please come and fill up my house. And I was like, all right. Not mad about this, Juju. By the way, Jujubee's debut single Don't Want to Love, which she sang at the Work the World talent show, just was released yesterday as we're recording. So we're recording on Sunday the 21st. On June 20th, Jujubee released her debut single Don't Want to Love from her upcoming EP Good Juju. So I went ahead and listened to it a couple of times yesterday on Google Play Music and downloaded it to my library. So and it has it does that very it reminds me so much of Adore Delano's I Can't Love You, which she sang on All Stars 2 in the talent show. It has that same kind of vibe, which for me is an absolute plus. And it kicks up like the beginning part is what she sang on the show, and then it hits a part and it gets a little more like a little electronic back beat music wise so it has a little bit more of a beat musically, but still that same real soulful singing. So I recommend that. Go to your favorite streaming platform and pre-save Good Juju, or go listen to Don't Want to Love. Just do all that. Go support Jujubee. She deserves it. So then, yeah, we have the dancing portion of it, the rehearsal for the choreography. And before we get into much of it, I'm going to skip to the last group, which was Blair's group. And do y'all know what Franken clips are?
I mean, only what it sounds like. Is this a thing?
It is a thing. And for those of you who have watched Adam Ruins Everything or have not watched Adam Ruins Everything, do yourself a favor and watch Adam Ruins reality TV. And he goes into the term, he goes into what they refer to as Franken clips. And basically what happens, and this is why I mentioned it when I was saying, when RuPaul says the secret lip sync assassin, they cut that secret and add it into the clip where it's RuPaul's secret celebrity drag race. A Franken clip is taking something that is recorded and then editing that clip into somewhere else. A lot of times when you don't see a person on screen saying something, it's a Franken clip because, and it took me a second, because I wasn't paying as much attention during the rehearsals. I think that night I was actually assembling a bookshelf. And so I was listening, but for those things you don't really pay much attention to, you know, a lot of times. But when I went back and I watched it today, I realized that they really were honing in on this cracker is tough to work with narrative. And there's the one point during the rehearsal where she goes, we're on a time limit. And I went back and I was like, wait a minute. And I watched the scene again. Cracker's not on the screen for that. So it's very much like when they use very Saint-Tropez for Jiggly Caliente 14 times in an episode. And it was the exact same way that she said it. And she was never on the screen for any of the other ones but the first one. It helps to what Brian was talking about earlier. It helps drive the narrative of what they're trying to do. So when you say something and you're talking about something else, and they take that clip and throw it into another conversation, into another part of the show, it helps drive their storylines. Because at the end of the day, whether or not it's quote unquote reality television, or as Ginger Minge informed us and made sure that we knew, they are not to refer to it as reality television, but unscripted television. Because there are not scripts, there are story outlines and story production meetings, but these things are not written down. So that's one of those things that I wanted to put out there, because a lot of people don't realize that. They think, oh, well, Cracker was just being a bitch, you know, and saying, oh, we're on a time limit while they were doing this. And that's not necessarily the truth. So just wanted to put that out there.
I mean, reality TV has been doing this since its inception. I think it's gotten worse in some ways, especially in shows like Drag Race. I'm Barbara Walters for today.
See, now had we just let Barbara Walters intro 2020, this year might not have been this way.
It's very true, right? I really, it's funny now. I used to watch a show religiously, and I don't even think about it when I hear 2020. All I think about is,
yeah.
Frank and Ed, it's like, it's an old thing, but Drag Race is so egregious about it. And a lot of times it's like, yeah, if you don't look for it like that, if you don't like kind of consider the context, you think, oh, well, sure, they're off camera and they're picking up what's off camera or whatever. But yeah, no,
I'll challenge that all of these shows have really become egregious with this, because you have to have drama. But because we watch Drag Race so much that it's really where we see it the most. But in that same episode, they talk about the fact that these people on these shows realize that something is up, because they will have to have a conversation at this table. You have to set up cameras. You know, you're not going to follow people around 24 hours a day and always have a story. You know, like these things don't just always seem to happen to people, you know, that have these shows. And sadly, I don't think that the viewing audience always understands that. And I really wish that they would, because then it might lead to less toxicity in the fandom, because the people that tend to be the most toxic tend to be the ones that believe everything that they're shown on a television show or whatever, you know, the whole, if it's on the internet, it must be true type of thing.
No, but I agree. And I feel like when we forget that these are actual people trying to have a career, and in many cases, friends, like they have a working and usually personal relationship with, you know, within the community of Drag Race, you know, and other drag queens, when we make them out to be these just characters and celebrities, it's far easier to consider them other and demonize them. And it's not good. Even if they are like Cracker this season is kind of being this whatever, like, she's an amazing, genuine person that has proved herself many times over other ways and everywhere else. So it's unfortunate.
She was a bit cold to me when we worked together, but I also chalk that up to, you just did a show. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has these stories, and I do too. Like, I was super excited and was backstage, and we were in the dressing room, and just was not really, she basically was giving me nooch. And I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, she's a cunt and I don't like her. I sit there and go, you just busted your ass for, you know, two shows over the last couple of hours. Like, you know, it happens. Like, yeah. As long as you're doing your job and you're doing it well and, you know, cool, whatever.
Well, and especially like, you know, you and I have spent a lot of time at conventions and we've met our share of celebrity people out there doing these conventions. And it's the same thing. Like there are moments that they have to be on.
Yep.
And same thing that, you know, with you, you know, when you ran the entertainment like stuff, like there are moments you have to be personable. And then there are those moments where you kind of go back. And so I fully believe that that's her, that's Cracker. She's introverted in probably many ways. She shuts down and kind of conserves her battery until she has to be Miss Cracker. And then that's probably exhausting for her. And then there's drag queens like Willem or Alaska or whoever that are a little more just always like, you know, kind of on.
And she even talks about it, I think, in this episode where she says that she hasn't made a new friend in forever because she mentally kind of sabotages herself, where it's like, okay, well, there's going to come a point where they're not going to want to be friends with me anymore. And especially after gaining fame and notoriety on a television show like this, you have sycophants that come out of the woodwork that are like, oh my God, you're my best friend. And, you know, try to pretend to be that role in your life and only want to use you for what you can provide for them. So I definitely think that there's a lot to it. And let me just point out, especially after listening to Ray Chaser talk about season 4, sometimes the girls are in on it. I mean, the whole Fifi O'Hara, Sharon Needles fight and their tension and everything was the two of them working on that together. I mean, quite honestly, like, you know, it comes to a point where these queens, when you're doing a show like this, you want the screen time. I mean, Ginger Minj, when we talked about season 7, she was like, as soon as I saw that red light go off of me from behind, you know, at the camera, I would say something like, you know, I don't want to say inflammatory, but I would say something outrageous, or I would say something that would get the camera back on me. And a lot of people, you know, kind of tore her apart for, you know, being a bitch or being cunty on the show. And like, it's you're juggling having to be yourself, having to play a character, having to have the screen time. Because if you're like Cameron Michaels and you're very quiet and introverted, you don't always get the attention and the time and all of that. I mean, granted, she made it to top 4, and good for her. Top 3. Only one who didn't make it to top 3 was Asia. Sorry, Asia and the butterflies. We'll never forget you, dear butterflies. I mean, Shay honored them on the runway in the episode we'll talk about in a minute. So let's skip on ahead. They did their production, and the runway theme was Love the Skin You're In. So who was your favorite on this runway, and why did you pick Shay?
She didn't wear any clothes. You could see her boobies.
I couldn't stop staring at her nipples.
I mean, it was just a gorgeous piece all the way around. The airbrushing, and then add to that the different colored crystals, add to
the stoning. The stoning gave it so much depth and actual like 3D feel, even though it wasn't a 3D piece. Because I don't think she had falsies in to give her breasts.
I don't know if she had titties in it or not.
I think it was just the way that it was airbrushed and stoned gave it that dimension and depth. I've been watching a lot of Ink Master, sorry. So I think that like, I absolutely agree with you. Aside from Shay and her amazingness, were there any other looks that stood out to you?
I'll say it did not work for this challenge at all, but Blair looked incredible in her runway look. That Pepto-Bismol pink. and she was trying to say, well, it's what you look like on the inside, not the outside. But You could have found another runway to shoehorn that in, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I will not say that she did not look stunning, but I did not. It did not work for me for this runway in the slightest. I did love Alexis's look, her full body leather, no breastplate this time, because you know she is a titty girl. But she, but they were brushed, airbrushed in, and they looked fantastic. And that was all leather. Like, there's not many queens that go out there and can pull off a handcrafted leather dress. Let's not forget that she said that she made that. So
I mean, you kind of have to, I think, with that material. Well, like the way it fits her is like, yeah.
But I mean, she created that. She crafted that. She did that. Know? Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
So this is the thing. We've talked about this before. I really wish that they would put like a credit on screen or talk about who makes these, because A, it gives credit to the people out there who aren't on the show, but B, it gives credit to the queens who are on the show and who make their own stuff. Like, that's important. That should be considered, I think, in some way, shape, or form.
Didn't Alexis say that in her voiceover during the runway? That she was the one who made it?
But that should be standard, I feel like. Like, they shouldn't have to work that into their, you know, their voiceover. It should be like a credit. Like, I think that's the easiest way, is just put a credit at the bottom. It's weird. It would probably stand out at first, but it's honest. And it would give them credit for doing their own stuff. So I don't know. I really liked, I just lost it. I had it up on the screen and it's gone. Angina. I loved Angina's. I love this. I think this was brilliant. I don't know the cultural significance, like she says it has one, so great, but I think it was very well executed. Obviously she lost for other reasons, I think, or went home for other reasons. It wasn't this, but I think this was overall one of my favorites. And then Miss Crackers, I'm torn, because I like it. I like the idea of it with the little, it's very timely with her little her face shield, her protective personal equipment, or her, what would they call it? They call it like a sneeze guard. Didn't someone refer to it that way? Yeah. I don't know. I think like the idea is great, but it's just the way it handled was weird.
I love I think somebody fan arted her look into a grocery bag. Oh. Because it kind of looked like a grocery bag. She was holding it up high.
Our friend James from Orlando, who did the trash and Trash to Trends with Divine Grace. Like, I could see him making an outfit like this out of Publix trash bags, and I think that'd be brilliant. One more thing, India. At first I thought she was doing a bear flag, but there's no yellow. So, but it's close, right? Because it's all the skin tones, and she said something, I think, to that effect. So I really like that look, and then the heart. I overall think that one was one of my favorites, too. So a lot of these looks were really good.
I agree with that.
Mariah looked freaking gorgeous. Her face.
Yeah, her paint's great.
Was probably the best I've ever seen Mariah look.
Well, come on. She's mugged for days, bitch.
I know. But she didn't even look like Mariah. It just
hasn't looked like Mariah. Mariah hasn't looked like Mariah from season 3 at all. She is definitely painting much different than she used to. Mm-hmm. She looks lighter and brighter.
Yeah,
I think in the face, I totally get what you're saying completely. But yeah, like the little upturn in the eye, almost like a cat eye for this makeup was definitely impressive. The only one I wasn't really 100% sold on was Mayhem's. Like, it was cute, but I think that if the dress hit the floor.
I understood the reference that it was trying to make, but if you put her dress up side by side with Kim Kardashian's from the Met Gala, it looks so cheap. And Kim Kardashian's was supposed to look that it was wet and dripping. Mayhem's doesn't look like it's wet and that the crystals are like water dropper. They just look like little, I don't know, just fringe. But it's like not enough fringe to look like good fringe.
Gotcha.
Not a fringe, what is it? The fringe with the Surrey on top? Not that kind of fringe.
Exactly. The Surrey with the fringe on top.
Thank you. I knew it was come there. On, like the words
come
are
on,
there.
Oklahoma.
Oh. Come on, Tulsa. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh. Okay. I did not know the reference until just now. I know that she had mentioned it. I didn't look it up and I just pulled the picture up and I can see the inspiration for sure. But I think then at that point I reverse course like AMC theaters. I reverse my position and I say that the dress should have been shorter. She should have gone ahead and done a full and cut it off at the knee like Kim Kardashian's dress was. Kardashian's dress is also closer in line to her skin tone, where Mayhem's is darker and doesn't give that same nude illusion that Kim Kardashian's dress does. It definitely didn't excel where some of the other girls did. And Brian, to your point, India's dress definitely gave me Bear pride flag. And one of the things that I want to make sure that this is clear, because in case you are not a Bear, you're not familiar with the Bear pride flag, which I believe just celebrated 25 years of being in existence. The Bear pride flag, India's dress was based off of skin tone. The Bear pride flag is based off of fur color, or in our cases, human bears' hair color. A lot of people tend to conflate the two because it does a lot of times fall more in line with skin tones, but that's not the case. It's it's the very blonde hair, it's the ginger hair, it's the black or the brown or the white in the bear flag, because it's meant to be inclusive of all different hair color and fur type for everybody, not based off of a skin tone to try to match it up to the flag.
The more you know.
So, Ms. Shea Coulee is declared the top all-star of the week, while we have our bottom three being Ms. India Farah, Mariah Paris Balenciaga, and Angina. Aside from Angina's kind of breakdown in the deliberations, was there anything really of note from the behind the scenes that you think that we should touch on?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The drama is, it's just whatever. I don't know. I don't like focusing on the drama. I feel like it's so manufactured most of the time, like we were talking about. And even if there is like some legitimate parts to it, it's just, I don't know. Well, Untucked this season's been very underwhelming for me, and just kind of like, other than the, like when they leave bit, which is real, genuine, I think, I just feel like it's just, I don't know. I'm not into it.
Well, what I took note of in this workroom discussions was Cracker says to Angina, "Hey, I'm sorry for the way that I approached you the other morning." Because in the next episode that comes up again, and it's not referenced that she apologized to Angina in front of everybody. So just take note of that. They're already erasing history.
They took down the statue of Cracker apologizing to Angina.
Exactly.
It happens. It happens. No. And I know I don't like to focus too much on the drama unless it's like really fun drama. But and that's kind of why I was just, you know, Angina breaking down is, I mean, she kind of knew where she was at. And I mean, with her getting sick, and I think that there's been so much pressure put on Angina and such fan like devotion to have her back on the show, for her to come back to something that is completely unlike what she experienced the first time around. Mm-hmm. It's like putting any queen, it's like, look at Rock M. Sakura, or Rock M. Sakura, if you want to get correct about it. I can compare the two of them in the sense that Rock wasn't prepared for the experience. And I don't think Angina was prepared for this type of Drag Race experience, because her season was nothing like this. There wasn't the same focus. There wasn't the same producer like driven storyline and content. So I feel bad for her. And I'm glad that she's back on the screens, that people can see her. She's got new merch. You know, once we are post Corona, even though people like to think that we're post Corona now, but once they're able to start touring again, it'll be nice to see Angina back in the public forefront and be able to reach a new audience again. So
has Angina done any of the big like Work the World tours or anything like that?
I don't think so.
I haven't noticed her name on any of them.
No, she really hasn't done much in the Drag Race world. I think she might have been on Drag U once, but that's even kind of, I'm not sure. The most that she had done really like outside of, or like within the Drag Race world, was be the driver of the van in the final challenge on All Stars 1. When they had to take them from, do you not remember All Stars 1, where they had to go from Hamburger Mary's and get a key to the city and present their burger? And then they had to do an interview. The four of them had to do an interview. And they had a change in the van the entire time. So Delta Work was one driver, and Angina was the other one, which is where Angina's entrance line, I was stuck in traffic, comes from, is from her driving the van. And she was telling the girls that there was traffic. Gosh. Yes. So, Shay, as the winner, has Alyssa Edwards as her lip sync assassin. They dance and twirl to the Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters. And Shay Coule came to slay and won her lip sync and $20,000. Do you think that Alyssa threw the lip sync? As a lot of people seem to be saying online.
I think that based on the shots that we were shown of Alyssa, I did not see Alyssa performing up to previous lip syncs that she's done. That could just be the edit of anything, and them not showing her doing all her big dips and tricks and stunts. But regardless, Shay lip-synced the heck out of that song. So even if Alyssa had done everything, Shay could have very well still won that lip-sync.
Yeah, I think the edit reinforced in this case that if they were close, which I think they were probably like on par with each other, but the fact that the contestant did so well, I think they're going to go with the contestant winner. But like in the one we'll talk about here in a second, the third episode, it wasn't it wasn't as close, right?
No.
So I think I think the edit reinforced the reality, which was they were really good, but Shay like knocked it out of the park.
Which something funny I'll say is just today I watched Monet's recap of episode 2. And she talks about how she thinks Alyssa didn't give her all because, well, the lip sync assassins don't have a chance to win the $10,000. They're just showing up for their performance fee, which is very funny. Since how in the next episode, we may see someone as a lip sync assassin.
It's also sort of a weird like way to say, yeah, I don't think Alyssa was, she was just cashing a paycheck. I don't know. But then again, you know,
I loved the way Alyssa looked, though. I liked that outfit a lot. I think it definitely fit the song.
Yeah, absolutely. And I the edit can go any which way. And we'll talk more about lip sync possibilities when we get to the next episode, which is episode 3, Get a Room. It is guest judged by Nicole Byer and Martin Lawrence Ballard. Every time they would say Martin Lawrence, and then kind of there was like a little breath in between.
Yes.
I was like, Martin Lawrence is here.
I 100%.
And then they showed that other guy, and I was like, oh, that's not Martin.
I mean, I wasn't disappointed. Like, oh.
I was like, what is Martin Lawrence doing guest judging on RuPaul's Drag Race? So,
I mean, he did drag.
Oh God, you're right. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this British guy? Oh no,
Martin Lawrence did.
Oh yeah,
plenty.
Oh yes.
Do we really want to go into that though?
No, we don't. They leave that one alone.
Oh, shenanay. So the girls enter the room, and it's kind of funny because I wasn't sure how they were going to go about this, because with Shay winning the lip sync, they showed her lipstick, and in Untucked, we didn't get the same montage as we did in episode 1, where the rest of the girls, they showed the montage of them picking lipsticks. So they showed all the girls picking lipsticks. So I was curious as to whether or not this would kind of be something that was like, well, do the girls talk about it? Are they going to say who they voted for? And they brought the box out and went through and laid out the lipsticks. And everybody, including Angina, voted for Angina, which was interesting. But at that point, I mean, she had basically kind of given up to the point where she was like, okay, this is it. I'm gone. If she had not been sent home, I think she would have probably thrown herself on the knife on the runway.
Which, here comes the question.
She's tiny. She doesn't need a sword.
How would you play the game of voting people off? Would you vote out stronger competitors because you want the crown?
Are you asking me if I would be Naomi Smalls and
Manila it?
And Manila someone? As we were treated to the fact that it is now a verb within the Drag Race culture to be Manila'd. I don't know. I would want to think that I'd be fair about it. But the problem with this is that unlike past All-Star seasons where the girls had to pick a lipstick, they were all on the stage and all heard the critiques.
Right.
Or at least the ones who needed to pick a lipstick heard the critiques.
Yeah.
The girls are, there are safe girls right now who don't hear the critiques and are only relying on what the other girls are coming back and telling them. I want to think that I'd be fair about it.
Brian, I guess I've just been watching so much Survivor this summer that it gets to the point where alliances get formed and you're voting off your strongest competition, but you have to do it in a way because they're going to the jury and ultimately they vote for who wins in the end, which isn't necessarily a thing. Possibly that's going to happen this season. We don't know if there's going to be a jury at the end.
I mean, true, because at that point, I mean, season three had it, and they didn't know about it. And then, you know, when you do All-Stars 4, okay, whether or not that filmed before or after it aired, then if it filmed afterwards, then you have to go into that thinking, well, maybe this will happen. And now you're sitting there going, okay, well, are they going to do something completely different? Or how do you do, how do you think about that? And I mean, I'm not going to fault anybody for playing the game with the rules that are laid out. You know, actually, I kind of just had to say the same thing. Listener/ fellow Drag Race watcher, Luke and I were having a conversation recently, or just yesterday, and he was watching All Stars, and he was watching this episode, and he mentioned something about, you know, Manila getting unfairly eliminated, and the whole getting Manila becoming a verb now. And I was like, oh, I mean, do you mean when Naomi played the game and rightfully made her choice that she could and whatever, but like, you know, in that same way where, like, was I upset that Manila went home? Yes, because I would have loved to have seen Manila go all the way. I would have loved to have seen Manila in the finale. But when you put these rules out there, this is what happens. You know, nobody gets robbed. Nobody is promised anything on this show. And that's why, you know, like, I joke around about, like, Jan being robbed, like, in the Madonna Rusical Challenge. But I really don't, like, I don't agree with anybody using the term robbed, you know, starting with Tyra and Raven being robbed of the crown in season two. Raven was never promised anything. She competed. Tyra, you know, outperformed her. And if you watch it, no matter what you think about Tyra,
in that season, she outperformed Raven.
Absolutely. Yeah. No matter what your personal take is on a person, if they outperform them or if they're following the rules of the show that are laid out, it is what it is. You know, did it suck that Shangela got shafted with the jury vote? Yes. But at the same time, you know, like, you're diminishing other people's accomplishments when everything is just a product of what the rules are for the game. The rules are constantly evolving and changing because of the way that things play out. But I'm not going to be mad about somebody that's playing the game the way that it should be. If that queen ends up in the bottom and is an option to eliminate, mm-hmm. and we saw it in this episode, there were a few people that chose Shay's lipstick.
Yep.
So, Brian, would you be...
spoiler alert, Shay's in the bottom three.
I think that I agree with everything you've just said, and I know that with the third episode, this will come into sharper focus, but... to say that people should or should not play by certain rules or whatever, and not even rules, but like, you know, informal, we're going to just go with the report card. It's like, no, that's not how shows work. That's not what they want. They don't. That's so boring. It's not that. This show is not that at all. It's never been. So don't expect it. And when it happens, great. But it's not always going to. So, you know, whatever.
Because it was just brought up on one of the recaps that maybe they should have kept on Gina, because she was just going to keep limping along and being a weak link that you could just vote off any time. But, you know, you're getting stronger people out.
But at the same time, we saw Roxy Andrews limp her way to the final four.
Yeah, that was the original not making it on report card.
All right, so this challenge is a design challenge a la the clubs from All Star
96
from All Star season 4. The queens get paired into teams. You have Ms. Cracker, Mariah, and Shay. You have Alexis, India, and Jujubee, and then you have Blair and Mayhem.
That was totally, I don't know, unfair, because I was talking about this, like, they had two, we had one less person to do their room, mm-hmm. Blair and Mayhem, but then they had one less person to fight with. So yeah. It's like good and not so good, or reverse.
Which, which is interesting because if you look at it, it's the same teams as the previous challenge, minus Miss Cracker just got moved over to Shay's team.
And the producers chose the teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, puppeteering a little bit.
As they were oddly standing in those teams when being assigned them.
Right, right? Yeah. All of it, yeah, interesting.
And they were like, all right, girls, we're going to line up. All right, I need you here. I need you here. I need you here.
At least bring out a button bag or a knife block or something like that.
So they have to come up with a theme. And we didn't get any of the workroom walk around, which they showed in Untucked happened. They showed some Untucked exclusive footage. But the themes, so the challenge itself is called Shantae, Enjoy Your Stay. And the girls come up with these room names. The Golden Gals Palace and Resort, way too long of a name, girls, but hey. That is Miss Cracker, Mariah, and Shay. You have the Glamazone with Alexis, India, and Jujubee. And the 24-carat experience from Blair and Mayhem.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to call it just the Golden Palace because A, that's trademarked, and B,
is it still though?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of statute of limitations is going on with that. But B, it would have been kind of confusing, being that there was another gold, room.
Yeah, when they were like, oh, Golden Girls, and then they said Golden Gals, I was like, oh my God, are they bringing Ginger, Gidget, Mr. Miss Adrian, and Devon Grace out? Because I would have totally been down for it.
It's worse than that, though. WoW has their own Golden Girls with Ginger as Rue. And then, like, Tempest Du Jour is B. Arthur.
Kasha Davis is...
Sophia.
No, yeah. She's... Is she Sophia?
So if she's, yeah, Sophia, she's Sophia, and Pandora is Rose.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So, and let me just, I will do this, and I have no problem. I mean, this isn't really, our, quote unquote, our Golden Gals with Divine Grace and Mr. Adrian and Gidget. So much better. So much funnier. So they're, hands down, I'm just like, really?
Shots fired. Pew,
pew, pew. I mean, Gidget's great. Ginger. Oops. Ginger is Ginger's great in both because she's the same. But like, I had to. You know.
I think at this point, Gidget and Ginger are just interchangeable.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, they lived at Gidget's house during lockdown. I'm not sure.
Oh, was it at Gidget's house?
Yeah. Yep. They basically built a studio in Gidget's garage.
Okay.
So they were staying there because it was easier than going back and forth between houses at that point. So they just they locked down with Gidget and did everything there. Okay, so first I'll talk about the positive. I love the fact that it goes back to our last recording when we talked about the premiere and Shay's outfit and how I said it reminded me of Blanche's banana leaf pattern. And then basically the bedding and the wall looked like Shay's outfit in the same color scheme. She was like, oh, I still have a whole bunch of that fabric at home. Can we just send it on over? I mean, she lives in Chicago, so it's a little different, but you know. But I was a little upset with her for being Bea Arthur, but using Sophia-isms. And Carson pointed out earlier that, you know, That's a bit of a breaking a law in the gay world there, but
or like, Ross, you mean?
Was it Ross? Oh, sorry,
yeah. Ross.
They're interchangeable in my mind now. Get that high voiced bottom on the Drag Race judging panel, Michelle Visage.
Please, you know she's a top.
Hey, you are right. You are right. Name all the tops on the RuPaul's Drag Race judging panel. Michelle Visage.
Michelle.
And done. What did y'all think of the rooms and this challenge overall?
The challenge was pretty... I mean, they could have just said... They could have just had the exact same challenge as last year.
I mean, it was the same exact challenge.
I mean, it
It was less interesting than last year, because last year, at least, it was relevant to what a drag queen might do in the field as a person working at a bar, coming up with a theme night. And it had a little bit more of that like lively club atmosphere, whereas this was a fucking hotel room. I mean, it was such a rehash, and worse, like a bad copy job, like just not.
Well, what's even worse is that 24 carat or 24K was basically Club 96.
It totally was.
Without the personality. Exactly.
I thought they were funny, but
they did the exact same shtick as what Naomi and Valentina had done.
Yep.
And I honestly, I guess we're at that point. I disagree fundamentally with their judgment that this was the best room 100 times over.
And do you know why it was the best room? Because that was the group with two in it. So that way they could send three people back to the room and have six people still on stage.
That makes sense. And
I was disappointed. No, so they sent one more back with them.
Oh, so there was five on stage?
Because they didn't win the challenge. So the person who won the challenge, I know I'm like obfuscating this, like I didn't just talk about Shay being in the bottom at the beginning of this conversation. But yeah, they sent the winner and the two of them back to the workroom, because that's where we got the sobriety and drug issue PSA.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which I will just say this, because I didn't mention it before. Jujubee, in an unscripted television show where there is so much like kind of not seriousness, has been this epitome of being an adult, having adult conversations and addressing things in an adult way. Because after when they came back and they were talking about who voted for who, or like, did anybody vote for Mayhem after the first episode, and Jujubee did, and Mayhem got upset about it, and she at first was like, well, those are your feelings and they're valid and whatever. And then she's like, no, that's not an apology. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I was like, wow, that's, like she was showing it's a lot of maturity. It's something you don't see in a lot of these things, because you don't want to see like realism. You want to see the kiki kaka kaku waha, like being shady and being bitchy. And then in the Untucked conversation where she talks about being sober and the fact that she has wanted to have a drink and she's wanted to do all these things, but her sobriety means more to her. And then Mayhem having the conversation about her being, we'll say hard drug free, because alcohol is still technically a drug. Being hard drug free, but still drinking, but having those thoughts to herself of maybe this is an issue. Like, these are real, like, and Jujubee just really having that conversation, like these kind of conversations coming out of Jujubee, especially with what we've seen in the past with Juju. Like, I mean, one of her most iconic lip syncs is Black Velvet that she did? Yeah. And
it was Black Velvet, and then weren't Raven and her both pretty drunk for the All-Stars one?
Yeah, but Juju was
basically... They were still obviously...
But Juju was basically blacked out for Black Velvet. And that was part of the reason why they limited the number of drinks in Untucked, was after that episode. But she was wasted and did Black Velvet and all of that. So, like, to see an evolution of somebody to that point is incredible, and to see it actually portrayed on television is amazing. So back to the rooms. Back to these sad rooms.
I really like, though, both the Golden Gal, or they call it Golden Palace, whatever. I like that one a lot. I feel like, yeah, there were some missteps, but overall fun. And then the Jungle one, which I didn't think I would like, Juju's performance more than made up for, the maybe shortcomings otherwise. So I guess in execution, they went with the Golden, what do they even call it? The
The Golden Gals carat. Palace and Resort was so
Trump's resort, basically, which is what I was totally feeling the whole time, which probably is another reason I didn't like it.
Oh, for 24K?
Yeah, it's just gaudy, gross, gold. I actually have now, I think, a visceral reaction to anything that is gold because of Trump. Because I know that that's the shit that he puts in his, like, fancy whatever. Anyway, but, like, I think because of those missteps and some of the performances, they really went with the 24-karat one. Because their performances, even though I don't think they were that amazing, I think Blair's was a little better because she kept trying to steer it weird. And I love that. I want more of that from Blair.
I enjoyed them going back and forth.
Yeah, well, I mean,
when it was like two of them, like very rich, dirty rich, like, you know, stuff like that, where they work together very well, and as a cohesive unit, I think that's why Rue picked it as her favorite. I think the biggest issue with, like, when you have a room like the Glamazon India, it gave me such flashbacks to the morning show challenge from season 3, where she was the weather girl, and she was like, it's a hail, no storm.
Yeah.
You need more personality. Yeah. She looked good. And that was the first time that I think I've seen India without super dark shading around her forehead and her cheekbones. And also very not like giant pageant hair. I thought she looked pretty, but she definitely didn't stick out. But Juju... Although it was funny when Juju sat down, I was like, did your grandma make this, make the chair? And she's like, yes, she did. And then it kind of buckled a little bit. And India was like, well, she might want to reinforce it. She's like, don't you talk about my grandma that way.
See, yeah. I think that Rue may have also picked 24K as her favorite room, as that was the only one that looked like anything that RuPaul would actually stay in.
Probably.
Could you imagine if one of the rooms had a fracking like section?
Oh my god.
She's a fracking queen.
Have you watched any of the mashup? Oh god, what's his name that does them?
Lee Dawson.
Lee Dawson. Have you watched any of the recent ones he's done?
I watched the beginning of, I think, the first one for this season. And it was it involved the fracking.
Yes, I love every chance that he gets to work that in.
I'm telling you, Willem. I haven't been watching as much YouTube. I've been trying to catch up on some shows and whatnot. But whenever Willem does it, it just,
she's a fracking queen.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I think, Eric, you're probably right, though, and it's unfortunate because I like the creativity that those other two brought into it, whereas the gold 24-karat thing is just so, again, it's so basic. It's such a, it's opulence, the room. It's this fake belief that gold, anything is opulent, and it really, like, is something that people are attracted to. It just grosses me out now.
It's nouveau riche.
Yeah, you're right. It's exactly nouveau riche. It's people who absolutely don't know what money, you know, should do or whatever, and then they just...
It's the illusion of wealth.
The illusion, yes. Well said.
Yep. To me, I had more issues with the interior designer guy kind of picking apart the Golden Gals, like, oh, but you used that bedspread. Or, like, they didn't go out shopping or order, like, go through catalogs and choose individual things. There was probably, the production design maybe had, like, six of each, like, six beds or, like, six shelvers or, like, six sofas or something like that that they could have chosen from.
Are you having a stroke there? Do we need to send somebody over?
A little bit. I smell toast.
No. I smell spiced vanilla and bourbon. That's just my beard.
But no, I mean, they may have even, like, as part of the prompt, gotten, like, these are the six themes you can choose from. And they could name it whatever, but, like, these are the themes that we have stuff for. and then you choose one of them, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that assessment of it. And obviously we weren't there. We're not part of the production team, but I can absolutely see that being what was given to them. And it's like when we were talking about the finale of season 12, they had a list of like 12 songs that they could choose from to do their self-produced lip sync challenge, you know? So those three songs were out of a list of 12 that they could pick from, you know. You're not going to be able to just be like, all right, well, I love this one song, so we're going to go ahead and, you know, I want this one. It's got to be on a list of things that they either can easily get the rights to, or maybe have some sort of deal where they get the they have the rights to these songs regardless and are able to use them. So it most likely was something along those lines of, hey, here are some looks or things or like backgrounds, like for the perfume challenge from season 5, where they have the swatch of different backgrounds they could use. And, you know,
yeah.
Ivy picked her hometown of New York City. Oh, wait, that's Tokyo. Never mind. So after they show Michelle and Martin Lawrence Ballard and Nicole Byer experiencing the rooms, they take it to the runway. And this theme is three looks in one. What were some of your favorite looks on the runway?
I love a good Fabergé egg. So Miss Cracker coming out as that egg with legs, that was fantastic. Doing the whole Anastasia.
Beverly Hills?
Yes. Now, the Princess Anastasia.
Anastasia Beverly Hills. See, yeah. This is why I don't do an outline for the show, because then y'all can't make fun of me for typing errors like they do Big Dipper.
Oh, that's why you don't do the outline.
That's exactly yeah.
I liked hers. I thought Juju's was cute, but if anything, I think hers was the more crafty one than Shay's was.
Shay's was awesome, and calling that crafty, unless maybe in person, it just doesn't quite look as good. I think they were, like, from the camera perspective, I think they were wrong, so wrong. And you're right, like, Juju's, like, I love the idea of it, but it was like, well, okay.
It was a little Party City.
Go back to Party City where you belong.
Can we talk about Alexis's bizarre? Like, okay.
I love this.
Circus theme, but the princess in the middle. When have you seen a princess at the circus?
Yeah, the ballet dancer was...
Or ballet
princess. Out of touch, yeah.
What? The rest of the other fine.
I didn't think it was a circus. I thought it was, like, I thought she was going to do a Japanese, like, kabuki style. Because the way that the sleeves were and everything, I thought it looked more geisha, minus the white makeup. And then it was like, oh, circus. Oh, okay.
Yeah. What? All right. It's just weird. Like, I don't think it was bad. Just like, huh? India's obviously wasn't that much of a... I think India and Mariah, both of them didn't really have like distinct three. Is that what it was?
Well, so Mariah's okay. Like from look one to look two, Mariah basically just took off her coat. And I think that's where the difference was, where India, it was like a complete change from like pants to a skirt. And even though like the jacket came off, like, but it was very tough to see the two of them, like for one to get critiqued and one not to get critiqued, or for one to be critiqued and have the other one used as an example. Like it was tough. Cause there was a point where I think from her second to third look, or her first, second, like one of them was a very quick transition and didn't feel like it was three full looks.
Yeah, India's didn't feel, or yeah, India's was the one where it didn't feel like three full looks because of the way they edited it the runway.
I thought it looked very tailored.
Yes.
Very well put together.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, she does her own stuff too, right? Isn't she one of the ones that's
I think so.
I mean, I don't know if she did that outfit.
But yeah, it compared to the rest of the cast, it did not appear like three completely different garments.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I enjoyed Shay's. I enjoyed Crocker's.
Blair's was really good too. We kind of forget about hers, I think, because it was sort of middle of the pack. But I liked it. I thought it was really fun.
I mean, honestly, I don't think there were any like complete duds out of all of these. You know, I think they did a really good job. And when it comes down to it, a lot of times you're nitpicking critiques in order to have, you know, bottom queens. I don't think that there should have been three bottom queens maybe this time around. I think it should have just been two. But I kind of feel like it was a little bit of a shock factor to throw Shay into the bottom, especially so early on. So with that being said, and I know that we had mentioned and alluded to this earlier, but 24K was Rue's favorite room. However, the winning performance, not the last time I will say that this episode, but Jujubee is your Maxi Challenge winner. Congratulations, Jujubee.
Yay!
And she and Blair and Mayhem are sent back into the back while they go through the critiques, they chat with the girls, and they end up putting India, Mariah, and Shay as your bottom three. Chat, 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 talk, 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 lots of discussion. When Shay was talking to any of the girls, it was freaking me out because I could never quite find her eyes because of the paint.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Like, it's great to know. And then the funniest thing that she said about it was that when she was talking about them critiquing her, the outfit is looking crafty. And she was like, and this is the outfit I spent the most on. She's like, I can't wait till y'all see the stuff that I didn't spend money on. But they chat, they go through their deliberations, they pick their lipsticks, and come out to the stage where it is revealed that Monet Exchange is your lip sync assassin. All stars for co-winner and season 10, Miss Congeniality, Monet Exchange. And we get a little juice by Lizzo as the lip sync song. What did y'all think about this lip sync?
Eh.
I think Monet did well.
yeah.
Juju was there. Kind of her having a reputation as a lip sync assassin. It didn't seem like she gave a lot to this performance.
You're talking about the assassin herself, like Monet?
No, Jujubee. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Like,
because right before they do the lip sync, they do a little montage about Jujubee talking about how she's
okay.
She's so many never people lost home. A lip sync.
Yeah.
Well, no, she did. Well, no, she made it to the final three.
Yeah, no, she had never lost a lip sync. Spoiler alert, for the first time in Drag Race history, Jujubee lost a lip sync.
Yeah, do you think that's there? I mean, again, just thinking the way they edit, like to reinforce that, yeah, she never has lost until now.
Well, like, so funny enough, I had this conversation yesterday again with Luke as he was watching the show. This is the thing. You're not lip syncing for your life. You're lip syncing for your legacy. And you're also put into the unenviable spot of sending someone home. Katya has talked about this. They don't always put their all into these lip syncs because they don't necessarily want to win. The $10,000 is nice, but they could win that again later if it came down to it. Or if they win the show, they win, you know, $100,000. The extra $10,000 or whatever is nice. It's good, but you know, they don't always put their all into doing this because they don't want to be Naomi'd. I'll flip it on its head and do it the other way around. They don't want to be the one that's like, okay, that has to then send the person home. And I mean, even when Monet pulled the lipstick out of her titty and said that Mariah was going back to the house, like she even said, she was like, don't shoot the messenger. Like, and it was to Mariah. But at the same point, it's kind of like the same thing for the crowd out there. It's like, this lip sync assassin isn't the one that's picking these people, you know, and Jujubee may not have wanted that responsibility. She may not wanted to have to worry about it, you know, and honestly, some of these songs tend to be geared towards one or the other as far as the participant. And we've kind of seen it vacillate back and forth. Living La Vida Loca, a little bit more comfortable and directed towards Evie. The Pointer Sisters, a bit more pointed towards Shay. Lizzo, a bit more pointed towards Monet. Like, you know, these are things that are also at play in the storyline. So I don't know. And Juju could have given it her all and we could have just been shown an edit that was kind of whatever. But when Monet started to, like, you know, high kick and brought her heel up and, like, pulled it towards her head and, like, started pulling out those moves, I was like, okay. This is Monet's. Like, it's just Jujubee. There wasn't. Jujubee is very emotive. And in a song like Juice, it's tougher to be emotive for it. You kind of have to be a bit more of a high stepper. You have to be a little bit more dancey. And that's not necessarily Juju's forte. So, I mean, I don't think she went out there with the mindset of, ah, fuck it, I'm going to lose this. Because at the end of the day, whatever the production wants is what the production is going to get. So if they wanted to send somebody else, let's say Juju had picked India and they wanted India to go and the group had picked Mariah, Juju would have won that lip sync and they would have done it and they would have had it go the way that they wanted it to go because that's their ability to do it. They know what lipsticks they're giving out to people, you know? Especially now that when they're doing these like in front of the mirror confessionals, and I don't think either of you have had this opportunity, but I've been in the workroom, not where the workroom normally is, but they rebuilt the workroom in the Los Angeles Convention Center. Those mirrors are two-way mirrors, you know? So when you're doing these things, no matter what and where it is, whether it's this new setup, you know, meeting in the ladies room setup, or when it was just for the last three seasons of All Stars in the main workroom and they pull this up. I mean, there's a camera on the other side of that mirror filming these girls picking the lipsticks up. And, you know, they know who it is. So it's they could do whatever they wanted to if it came down to it. But I think that this was a bit more gear to it. And I'm sure Juju didn't put 150% into the lip sync. Maybe she put 87%. You know. It happens. But we do say goodbye to Mariah. And don't forget that in a room full of tens, she is always the grand prize. And she packs her stuff up and gets a lovely little farewell message from Bianca, which I thought was super cute.
Yeah, I love that Michelle and Bianca both got to say goodbye. Like, that was really sweet. And I didn't realize that her and Bianca were close. So that's pretty cool.
I'm sad that we didn't get a video for Angina. That made me sad because we got Derek's partners. We had Nebraska and Nick that popped up. And then Angina went home and Alyssa went back and talked with her, which was cute. And then, but then this time around, Michelle came back and talked to her. And then she got the video from Bianca. And I was like, all right, well, getting more stuff now.
Fuck Angina's drag, right?
I will say though that since they started doing Untucked for All Stars, I love that they changed out all the clips at the beginning of Untucked to All Stars quotes. You know, fuck my drag, right? I'll send you $10,000 through PayPal. It's very, very kind of cute that they've tailored it to this season versus just the regular. And I mean, they keep on updating the Untucked one, but there's a lot of the same clips that stay throughout the, you know, from season to season.
Yeah.
So do you think the right person went home, which you've sent Mariah packing?
No, not at all.
I probably would have voted for India.
Yeah.
But again, if there had been talk between the girls, sending Shay home isn't a bad idea.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think she ended up with, I think it was with 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7 or 8 people.
There were 8 total.
8 total. So I think, I want to say that it was like, it was maybe like 4-3-1 as far as the votes go. Like, Shay was close to being voted out.
Well, there's 8 people total, so you take Juju's out. So there's 7. There's 7 votes that go in the box.
Yes. All right, so maybe it was 4-2-1.
I want to say allude in the clip for next week, they alluded to 2 votes for
so Shay. So I think it was 4-4-2-4 for Mariah, 2 for Shay, because we know that Alexis voted for her for sure. And I think
I can't remember who said it in the preview.
Yeah,
but they also did.
But yeah, I think I saw somewhere that it was 4-4-2-1 as far as the Roomocracy votes went. So the next episode is SheMZ. It's a spoof on TMZ and the actual television show from their kind of like workroom aspect. If you've never watched the TMZ television show, there's the one loud guy that's always standing behind the partition, leaning on it with his giant cup of drink. And then all the other people in the bullpen, like pitching stories and whatnot. And then it feels like it's kind of like the improv cop challenge from season 11. Because the one scene that they showed us on the street felt very much like...
Oh, yeah, with Brooklyn and all that.
Who's the twerking one? Oh my God.
Akira. Yeah.
The Akira skit, like that's, and I think it probably was filmed at the exact same spot because it looked like the same spot that they filmed that one at. But that's going to be the next one. We'll have Sarah Hyland as the guest judge. So it'll be interesting. It looks like they're going to be paired into teams of 2, 2, and 3. So we'll see how that all turns out. And we'll be back in 2 weeks to discuss more of the fun and frivolity of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. If you've enjoyed this or any of the other tantalizing entertainment that we put out on our feed, then follow us on social media at flameonshow.com. You can scroll to the bottom and find your favorite social media platform and click to follow us there. And if you would like to, you can join as a patron at any of our 4 levels and help us to continue making the show, because we are listener-funded entertainment. So we thank you for hanging out with us today. Thank you, gents, for joining me. And until we meet next time, mabuch.
Ciao. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.